Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. It is a privilege to be with you today to open God's Word with you. If you have a copy of God's Word or on a device, I invite you to turn or scroll over to the book of Isaiah. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 46 today. And I want to also extend a Father's Day welcome to all of you fathers who are here. I've got to tell you, Yes, indeed. Let's go ahead. It's worthy of our applause because if you're a father and you're here on a Sunday, you are one brave human being. It takes some courage because we know what usually happens. So for Mother's Day, it's a different story. The sermon and everyone all day long is basically saying, Mom, you're amazing. You're like the most incredible person in the world. You're amazing, incredible, stupendous. But on Father's Day, the message is, now you boys need to get your act together. And we laugh, but I mean, it's true. This is the way it is on Father's Day. And in our culture, there seems to be lots of funny things that people want to say about fathers. Whether it's shows or commercials or comedians, fathers are often the target. And if we're honest, a lot of families love to tell stories about the time that dad tried to cook a meal or fix the car. And in my own family, if you ask them, they'll tell you how much I just love long road trips. I don't. And they'll tell you how cringy it is when I try to use some Gen Z slang. So I won't try to do any of that today, I promise. But we love to laugh about dads. But I've got to tell you that if we want to quickly dive into the heart of any of us, ask someone honestly about their relationship with their father. And if they're willing to be open with you, you will hear some of the deepest notes that the human heart produces. Echoes of love, longing, resentment, regret. Why? It's because God intended fathers to be a window through which we see him. Fathers are intended to be a sign that point to God the Father. All fathers, the book of Ephesians tells us, are patterned on God the Father. Fathering is central to who God is and who he's made us to be. And that's why bad fathering can be so destructive. And this could be, you know, a serious reason why Father's Day is hard. Because tragically some here have had absent fathers or abusive fathers. And that makes it really hard, doesn't it? To hear that God is our father. Because who'd want a God like that? Now our hearts break when we hear about situations like that. It's tragic. But to attribute the failings of our earthly father to our heavenly father, it's a misstep. The river actually flows in the opposite direction. Our father's failings shouldn't reflect on God, but instead, God's perfections should show us what fathers ought to be. And that's one of the reasons why the failings of our earthly fathers hurt so much, because we know somehow embedded in us, the standard of fatherhood is so much higher. And this morning, we're going to look at that standard from God's word. We're going to talk about what it means that God is our father. God is our father even in dark times. And we're looking at that from the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. In this passage, God is speaking to his people who in centuries to come would be taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. God's people continued to rebel against the Lord, and they would be kicked out of their home and become captives in a foreign land. And at the end of the exile, God would raise up a king, Cyrus, who would attack Babylon and deliver his people and send them home. In this chapter, Isaiah 46 envisions that future time when Cyrus would wage war on Babylon. And at that time, everyone would flee the city. and run for cover, and they take their idols. The idols were named Bel and Nebo with them. I mean, this is a dark time. Where is God the Father in all this darkness? Let's start by reading the first four verses. Would you look with me? Bel bows down. Nebo stoops. Their idols are on the beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop and are bowed down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from before your birth. Carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. We learn from this passage, these verses, that God is a father beyond expectations. While God isn't actually called father in this passage, he's doing all the father things. He's relating as a father. He's acting as a father. Fathers, for example, carry their children. If you've ever been to Disney, you know the drill. You pay tons of money to stand in line with grumpy children and carry them all day long. That's what dads do. Parents hold their children. And in contrast are these idols, Bel and Nebo. They're not carrying anybody. In fact, they are needing to be carried out of town. So let's talk for a minute about these idols, about any kind of idol. Whether you're a follower of the true God or you're following a false God, the reality is that people expect their God to provide for their needs and to deliver them when times are dark. And the appeal of a false god, of an idol, is that you get to call the shots. You're in charge. You are. So, in ancient times, if you decided that you were in need of more abundant crops, what did you do? You're in charge. You take action. You can fix this. You give the false god, the idol, your money or something valuable like oxen, sheep, or even a child. And the false god, the idol, is obligated now to deliver you. It's a transaction, and you're in charge. You give, and you expect the God to give back. Now, you may say, this is 2025. That's so ridiculous. I mean, those ancient people with their idols, so uninformed. And yet, I think we do the same thing. So, when we decide that what we need is to escape a difficult situation, when this happens, we might decide, I know what we need to escape. We need a promotion at work. So when that happens, what do? We put in our dues. We make the sacrifices, sometimes even at the expense of our own children. And we hope that the corporate gods see our sacrifices and reward us accordingly. Or maybe it's not the gods of corporate America, but we give everything in an attempt to control the gods of financial stability, the gods of happy children, the gods of respectability, or the gods of social media influence. But you see, the problem with these kind of false gods, these kind of idols, is that they're actually powerless to deliver at all. They fail to meet our expectations. When the city was under siege, these so-called gods can't even get out of town on their own. They have to be carried. And they don't even do a small part. The animals that lug these burdens out of town are groaning under the weight. They're not getting any help from the idols. But in contrast is the one true God, our Father. He doesn't need to be carried. Instead, he carries us, even through dark times. And God our Father doesn't just meet our expectation, he exceeds them. He not only carries his people in their childhood, he carries them through adulthood and all the way through life. What did the text say? Even to your old age and to gray hairs, I will carry you and I will save. And this is not what we expect. You don't carry your teenagers at Disney. They got two legs, they're gonna walk on their own, thank you very much. No, what we expect in life is that we have some way of contributing. We wanna have some level of control. I give a little bit, I get a little bit back. That's how we fix life's problems. And to that degree, in some ways, we are like orphans, those who live without a father. Stories are told of children who are adopted into families after having been without a mom or dad for years, and their adoptive parents find them hoarding food, clothes, resources. Why? They're in a loving home. Because for years, the survival and well-being of these children depended solely on them. Perhaps they didn't have people truly looking out for them, so everything depended on them. If they didn't stockpile, if they didn't prepare, if they didn't sacrifice, no one was going to do it for them. And don't we often operate with the same expectations? We feel like life is all on us. The weight is on our shoulders, and we carry it through the day. And if we're going to succeed at work or at home or at church, we expect to at least do a little of the carrying, to walk on our own, to have some role, to find some solution, pay some cost. And what we find in this passage is that beyond all expectations, our Father carries us fully. When you're not thinking about it, he's thinking about you. When you're not trying, he's carrying you. When you're young and when you're adult and when you're old, when you're weak and when you're strong. Through every dark and difficult season, he cares for you, stays with you, provides for you, feeds you, clothes you. He carries you. So stop trying to do it all yourself. Lay the burden down that you've picked up, the burden that's crushing the life out of you. Your Father has you. He's a Father beyond anything you might reasonably expect. He's also a Father beyond comparison. Can I read the next few verses, Isaiah 46, 5 through 11? To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it on their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. In what way? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. How does he do that? Calling a bird of prey from the east. This is talking about Cyrus, the king. The man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. So the point of these verses is to point out another contrast between false gods and the true God, our Father. When you compare them, there's no comparison. Idols are human creations made by normal people shaped out of everyday, regular materials. And they might have tiny carved legs, but they can't take a step to help. And they might have painted lips and ears, but they can't hear a prayer and reply with help. They don't compare at all to God our Father. I mean, humans can walk and hear and talk, but God isn't even just a pumped up version of a human.
Our Father, the one looking out for you, the one carrying you, is in a category all by himself. There's no one like him. He is God. And did you catch what our passage said about in what ways he's God? What does God do, the one who carries us? Well, basically, he's got it all mapped out. He's got the end of your life mapped out from the beginning. From the beginning, he's declaring the end. From ancient times, he knows exactly what will happen. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but nothing takes our Father by surprise. You see, when Isaiah is writing this chapter, and he's writing about Babylon, and he's writing about the exile, do you know when he's writing? About 100 years before it happened. Before it took place, God knew his people would rebel. He knew they'd go into exile. He knew there'd be a man of his counsel. In other words, he made a decision. He took counsel. He made a decision. There was someone he planned. There would be this man that he would use named Cyrus, Isaiah 44 and 45, name him 100 years before he came on the scene. This man who's an evil pagan ruler that God had always planned to use to overthrow Babylon and bring his people home. All this is what God had decided before, and his counsel will stand. Who else can do this? Our Father is beyond compare. Did you know that your future is planned out too? You may not know about tomorrow or the next year, but your Heavenly Father, oh, he does. And he not only knows, but he guides and he's involved. And he can use hard situations like the one we read about. He can use evil people like the one we read about. And even though that is all mysterious to us, it's all mapped out to him. So how do we respond to that? Well, our role is to remember. In verses 8 and 9, three times it says, remember, recall, remember. You see, we can't look into the future like God does, but we can look back at the past. We can look and remember what God has already done. When we face an unknown future and dark times on the horizon, we can look back and see how our Father has carried us. A long time ago, there was a season in our family when our finances were especially tight. And I tried to anticipate the future, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't work out how it was going to work. And I was stressed. I was not trusting God. It was a struggle. What were we going to do? And then, out of the blue, God provided. He carried us. Some unanticipated income arrived. You know, I had no clue about that. I didn't manufacture that. But God, our Father, had always known. That future was known to him in his mind and in his hand. God had planned and used that money. But that's not all. Because I can look back and see not only that he used that money, but that he used that hardship to deepen my faith. So if your future looks bleak, remember, look back at what our God has done. Call to mind how our Father has provided for you in the past. Remember how he's protected you. Remember most of all how he gave his son for you. For the book of Romans teaches that if he gave us his only son, won't he also with him freely give us all things? If he gave us something as of the magnitude of his own son, what's anything else in comparison to that? The darkness of your future is as bright as day to your Father. He knows your future. He's mapped out your future. He is a father beyond compare. remember what he's done and trust him. He's a father beyond our expectations. He carries us. He's a father beyond comparison. He guides us. Lastly, he's a father beyond our deserving as well. Let's look at the last two verses in Isaiah 46. Would you look at that with me? Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. And my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. You know, we've already seen sometimes life can be pretty dark. And the future is definitely dark to our minds. But often, if we're honest, we also know that the darkness extends into our own hearts. Our motives, our words, our actions, our attitudes are spotted with darkness. And we read that God will carry us, but then, you know, there's carry us. He might carry big kids, we learned, but what about bad kids? Why would God carry us? Us who this verse identifies as stubborn of heart. Us who this verse identifies as far from righteousness. The question is, why would our Father carry us when we don't deserve it? How can we rely on a Father to carry us into tomorrow when we've been so bad in the past? And these verses point in a solution. The answer is that one day God would, quote, put salvation in Zion, and that God's own righteousness would be brought near, our verse says. Now, we know our Bibles. If you've been around church any time at all, you know what Isaiah is talking about. You know what he's pointing to, because there was a day when God sent his Son into this world to be that righteousness and to bring that salvation. And on that day, the Father wasn't using an evil and pagan king, but a righteous and deserving king. And this man's name wasn't Cyrus. The man of God's choosing was Jesus. This was God's Son. I want you to focus in. I need you to think with me about the fact that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus has always been God's Son. If Jesus had become the Son of God, even if that had happened like a gazillion years before creation, then there would have been a time, an eternity before when God was not Father. But God didn't ever become a father. The Bible teaches us that God is Father. That's who he is. He has never, ever been just generic God. Plain old God. Instead, he's always had a son. And that means he's always been a father. So when Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in a dark time, prays to his Father and says, Abba, Father, he is speaking from a position of being eternally loved. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God the Father has always loved and cherished his perfect and deserving Son. And Abba, which means Father, is what Jesus called his Father, is the rightful and deserving, when we hear that, it is the rightful and deserving Son speaking to his father. That's the word he used. And this, brothers and sisters, this is why the Father carries people like us. We don't deserve to call God Father, but there was one Son who did. And when we become Christians, we belong to Him, to Jesus. When we turn from our way, when we turn from our rebellion against God, or we turn away from our righteousness for God, our way, and we turn to Jesus, He is the way to the Father, the only way. When that happens, we are united to the deserving, beloved Son. In all our darkness, we stand, as it were, in His shoes. And His role as Son and righteousness as Son are declared to be ours. And when we pray Abba, the significance isn't in the meaning of the term, the significance is in the source of the term. That's the word of Jesus, the deserving Son, to His Father. And when we pray it, it's like we're using the login to a massive bank account that belongs to someone else. Because of our weakness and sin and failure, we don't deserve to be carried. It's true. But if you're a Christian, because of Jesus, because Jesus is the Son that the Father loves with all His heart, He loves you. And He loves to carry you. You. I'm talking to you today who are filled with regret, shame, guilt. Talking to you who feel like you disappoint yourself and people around you. You who are full of pride that most of the time you don't even notice. He loves you like He loves His Son. And He loves to carry you. Over 20 years ago, I heard this story about George Truett. He was a pastor in Texas in the first half of the 20th century. And he told the story about in his church there was a strong and strapping young man named Tom. Tom and his wife were believers, had only been married a few years, and they had a little girl. And when the daughter was still a little child, Tom lost his wife. And Pastor Truett remembered going to the graveside and wanting to have some words of comfort for this husky man holding the tiny hand of his little girl. And sometime later, Tom went to his pastor and told him what had happened that night when he took his daughter home to their dark and empty house. He helped his little girl get ready for bed, his big fingers fumbling with the tiny buttons of her pajamas. He turned off the light, the bed and rocking chair silhouetted in the shadows. And when he was getting ready to put her in bed, his daughter looked up and said, "Daddy, could you rock me like Mommy used to?" And Tom said, "Of course." And picked her up in his strong arms and carried her across the room and rocked her until he thought she was asleep. And when he went to lay her in her bed, her eyes flew open and she said, "Daddy, it's so dark in here. Couldn't you please rock me a little more?" And the big man sat back down and rocked his little girl to sleep and placed her in her bed. And then the man slumped back into the chair and he stared up into the darkness at the ceiling and said, "Oh God, it is so dark in here. Couldn't you rock me a little?" And the man told his pastor that that's exactly what God had done. God the Father stooped down to this man who was grieving, this man in his darkness, this man in his need, and he took him in his arms and he carried him. And that's what he'll do for you. If you stop trying to carry yourself, to be so good, to amend for all the bad, will you let him carry you? He's a father more than capable of caring, of holding you through the darkest night. This is our Father. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you that you don't carry us because of how good we are, how well we've done. You don't carry us only when we ask, but you are a Father who carries us always. Who carries us because you carry in your heart your beloved Son, our Savior, the one to whom we belong. So Lord, help us to remember what you've done in the past. Let it strengthen our trust in you in the present and the future. Help us to trust you and to lean and rest in your arms. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.